Hello, everyone. Welcome to our first Zengage Twitter Space of 2023. I'm really excited to see you all here. We're just going to give it a few minutes so more people can join. If you're kind enough, please join. Please share this space so more people can see it. And we're going to be starting pretty soon. So I think we can start now. Dan, Sam, how you guys are doing? So nice to talk to you again.
Good morning, Chef. It's a bit early in Japan, but it's great to have this. And hello, everyone. I hope everyone's having a good day.
Yes, I am the voice of Zengage. Ha, 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 ha. No, it's actually me, your favorite Dan. So nice of everybody to join. Thanks a lot. And, hopefully some more people will join. And yeah, it is kind of early in Japan, but we're ready to go, ready to make this happen.
I made sure we're going to do it super early for them so they can be quite sleepy. So we can hopefully get quite a few information from them. I'm really excited to have you all here. I'm going to ask you once again, please share this space so more people can see it on Twitter. We're gonna give you a good overview of what happened in 2022, and especially in December, and then we're gonna open up for some questions from the community as well. Sam, if you're ready, would you be able to just give us an overview of what we accomplished in 2022?
Sure. It feels like a little bit of a loaded question. We obviously started our journey in 2022, and so we've got the ground running. But I just to summarize for everyone on the space, I think the two big highlights the two big highlights that we had was the signing of two significant partnerships, and the reason why it was big for us is it's really starting to test out our business model and getting some traction around the ideas that we have and turning those ideas into some actual solutions in reality. So the first was with the Sri Lankan Tea Factory Owners Association. It presents an opportunity to onboard a $1.5 billion export market in the tea industry. Just to summarize some of the stuff they're facing, the supply chain world has rapidly evolved and digitized over the years. And a lot of the businesses actually in some of the markets we're trying to address are struggling to keep up. So, we're in a very interesting position to provide access to various things like the latest technology, access into global markets, and access to finance as well. So to be honest, the Sri Lanka pilot that we're running is, it's very exciting. There's just a lot of angles that we can address, and we're quite excited to get the ground going and basically figure out where we start and where we build from. So that was a really exciting thing. We're going to be going back to Sri Lanka this year in the next month or two, actually aiming for end of March at this point to run some in-person workshops. We're doing a bunch of stuff in the middle, speaking to the factory owners and various stakeholders. But that was a really exciting partnership that we signed towards the end of the year. The other partnership that we signed was with one of the largest Thai gold wholesalers. And we've actually run our workshops already, and we were on the ground in December, towards the very end, the week before Christmas. And we ran some information gathering sessions, and they have a very specific interest in traceability. So that's opened up some interesting questions, and we've learned a lot as a team about gold. None of us on the team have traded gold before, and it's honestly, as someone that really values curiosity in the world, it's been very interesting just learning about how these things work from leaders in the space as well. So we're going back to Thailand again We need to start the build, and we're still in the process of building the traceability solution. So that's something exciting that we also signed. Handing back over to you, Chef.
Thank you, Sam. Appreciate it. Dan, hopefully you're well awake now, and I can start hitting you with some questions as well. Do you wanna give us, like, you know, the feeling of how it was when you went in Sri Lanka, and you talked to these people on the ground, and you actually talked to business owners, and they told you about the problems that they're facing right now. What was the feeling that you got when you told them about the solutions that Palmyra is gonna bring to them?
Yeah, you know, Chef, it's that's a really good question, because I don't know if any of you guys actually saw my or our follow-up video that I actually shot from Sri Lanka. I think it was the last day I was there, but you know, I mean, the reaction and the response that we got first, you know, on the first we hosted the event, and then after that, when I did the tour of the factories, it's just been amazing. Well, number one, there wasn't any, you know, skepticism, not nothing. I mean, there were some questions asked, of course, but there wasn't any of this, you know, when you try to introduce a new technology or a new solution to some markets and to some people that are kind of entrenched in doing things their own way for a long time, you're going to have resistance, you know, and you're going to have people like, oh, I don't need this. Oh, you know, this is, I don't know what this, oh, I don't know how to use this. I don't, you know, just all of these way, all of these things that people will tell you so that they don't have to deal with this new technology, even though the way they're doing things right now is just really just not working, or not working well for them. But I just, none of this happened. You know, everybody was so welcoming. Everybody was so, so well versed in what we were doing. I mean, I spoke to factory owners that they understood traceability. I mean, understood it on a really, like a really detailed level. There wasn't really a big learning curve. I mean, obvious questions were asked, you know, how do I ensure data quality? How do I ensure the traceability chain continues? And I mean, all these questions, of course, that people will ask, but you know, I just didn't get this pushback. And really, you know, seeing how much these people put into their businesses, how much these people kind of put their heart and soul into what they're doing, you know, and this is people that have been, some of these people have had these factories and these plantations for generations, you know, for, you know, maybe 100 years or something like that. It just makes you want to not, first of all, it empowers you. Makes you feel like you are doing something. You are doing something right, and it also makes you feel like you cannot fail. You have to bring this to them, and that's kind of how I felt in Sri Lanka. I felt like we have to succeed. You know, failure is not an option. This is needed there. This is welcome there. This will succeed there. We just need to do what we're supposed to do, and it'll be a success. And so, I mean, that's really how I felt being in Sri Lanka on the ground, and in Thailand as well.
Now, since you mentioned Thailand, I would like to ask the same question to you, Sam, in regards to Thailand. How did you feel when you went there with Dan? What was the perception that you had from them, from the people on the ground? Please tell us a little bit about it.
Well, I think the main thing for me is like the people we're working with. So we've signed we're sort of collaborating with the university there, SWU, and there's a specific faculty that we're working with, which is a College of Creative Industries, and they're probably the leading gems, jewelry, and fashion sort of faculty in all of Thailand. And if you really abstract from it as well, like the gems and jewelry space like Thailand is a market leader globally. So if you really think about it, they're one of the best in the world at what they do, especially in the gems and jewelry space. So we're working with two professors over there, and they're phenomenal. Like they have deep expertise in the topics that we're looking to enter into, and I'm just always very not even surprised anymore, just but taken back about the quality of the work that, you know, we're collaborating on. So that, I think that's the first bit, and so the network that they have and the people that we have access to as well. So I'm always just very impressed at the quality of the work that's been done. And then as for the gem space, it's a huge market. It's multiple billion dollars in export value. So, you know, in reality, it's much bigger than that. And there's thousands of individual businesses and whatnot in the space as well. So I'm just very impressed by the size, I think, of the opportunity, and also the quality of the people working there. So it actually makes our lives much easier. They understand the stuff that we're trying to do. They're very open-minded and collaborative and innovative as well. So I think purely by the fact that, like, the CEO we're working with for that gold company, he's third generation, part of this third generation gold family, runs a really, really so successful business. And the fact that he's looking for the next thing to help build his business and make it even better is just really exciting for us to be part of, and for him to be backing us as well on this project.
That's amazing. Thank you both for giving us, you know, for painting the picture of what's going on in what happened in Sri Lanka and in Thailand. Now, what are the problems that you know that you've seen that the people have, and what are the solutions that Palmyra Comdex will actually bring to them? Dan, do you want to take this one, or Sam?
Well, I can start with this, and I think I think you just have to. Well, the first bit is not every market, not every jurisdiction faces the same problem, but largely speaking, the markets we're trying to address all face a few commonalities as well, and the specifics of the solutions that are deployed are emphasized in certain features in certain markets, right? And I said this at the start, so supply chains. And the world of the commodity trading, like a lot of the more sort of legacy related markets have gone through this rapid phase of digitization. And sadly, a lot of the different emerging markets or different types of target markets that we're looking to onboard haven't really gone through that wave of digitization. So there's a lot of gaps and a lot of opportunities as well for people to really upskill, but also just get access to technology. So as a result of that sort of lack of access to the latest technology, they sort of face lack of access to global markets and sort of global capital markets as well when it comes to accessing financing. So those are sort of the three general themes that we're seeing in terms of markets we're onboarding. And then as for the specifics, they do tend to vary. So countries like Thailand, for example, have sort of much better financing opportunities as when compared to Sri Lanka. They have much higher needs for traceability, for example. So it's I think it depends, depending on the market that we're addressing. But in general, those are sort of three things that we're looking for, and the three things we're noticing as well as a sort of common issue that happens across all over the world. And this isn't just like two markets that we're sort of talking out of. We've spoken to people in Mongolia, people in Africa, also learning about stuff in the Americas as well. So it's sort of a widespread issue that we're seeing. And I think we're catching a wave, and we're seeing a lot of sort of common things coming along, which is a good thing, especially as we're trying to test out our business model.
Thank you, Sam. Dan, anything else that you would like to add?
Yeah, you know, it's also really kind of important to note that our business model partially is not really to be Kind of like the super hyper uber expert of just like this one thing, right? Because a lot of platforms that offered similar functionality that to what Palmyra does, you know, platforms that the traceability to some extent commoditization of certain of certain products, a lot of times they will focus on one or maybe two things, you know, something that will only focus on grains, or something that will only focus on coffee, something that will only focus on tea. And really, that is not what we're trying to do. What we're trying to do and what we are doing is designing a model of onboarding commodities where we preserve the nuances and we make the UX really unique and really tailored to what they are used to and to what would make, you know, what would make things more efficient for them, more streamlined for them, easier for them to work in. But we're also built to be able to onboard more and more. And so basically we, you know, the Thai tea or the Thai gold and Sri Lankan tea are just the first commodities. We're designing a process as we do these workshops of how to onboard new commodities in most efficient, the most effective way possible, while not having to spend, you know, like 2 years or 3 years learning about it, trying to figure things out, to kind of make things really, you know, really strong and well, I don't want to say fast, but just really rigorous. You know, beyond this, we will be moving on to, even in Sri Lanka, you know, there are so many other opportunities. There is beyond tea, there's the Sri Lankan cinnamon. The Ceylon cinnamon industry is actually, again, one of the largest in the world. And Ceylon cinnamon is world renowned as top shelf cinnamon. When I was in Sri Lanka, I visited some of these cinnamon factories, and this would be a process that's very close to tea, although it obviously has its own nuances, its own processes, but it's not that far off. So what we're going to be doing is we're going to take what we learned with tea and trying to adapt it to cinnamon, you know, and then add extras that are unique to cinnamon. Beyond that, the coconut industry is really thriving in Sri Lanka. Again, one of the largest exports out of Sri Lanka. The rubber industry as well. So there's so many opportunities just in one jurisdiction. And that's just one. You know, I'm not even talking about Thailand that has got, you know, a thriving silk industry. I mean, I'm sure many of you have heard of Thai silk. That is its own big field over there. The gems and precious stones industry in Thailand is also one of the top ones in Asia. And again, this is just, like I said, one, two jurisdictions that offer all these opportunities. And we have so many other ones. You know, we have connections into Turkey. We have connections into Indonesia. We have connections into Africa. So it really has to be a process that is repeatable in a very efficient but yet detailed and rigorous way. And that's what we're striving to do.
We also need to bring Greek olive oil on the Palmyra platform as well.
We got to make a big note. Absolutely. Greek olive oil is actually something that we already discussed before, and somebody actually reached out to us, aside from you, Chef. And also there's also the honey industry as well. In several different places in Barbados, there's a really flourishing honey industry. It's just so many opportunities, you know, so many things that we can really onboard and just streamline and adapt to the process and really bring so much value to through Palmyra.
Now, this is the, I have a question for you that I get it a lot, and obviously, you know, I see our audience. We have many people from the Cardano ecosystem, and we also have many people from the Ergo ecosystem. Now, a question that I get a lot is like, why did you choose Ergo and not Cardano, for example, to build you know, Zengate and Palmyra? What was the thought process behind it? Because, you know, this is a question that we get a lot from the community.
Well, I mean, the truth of the matter is that we chose both. And also that this product, just like Zengate, is ergo-centric. It's not Ergo exclusive, but it's Ergo centric. We're utilizing a lot of technology from Ergo. We're working with a lot of the core team members. We're working with you know, some of the really well-known teams in the Ergo ecosystem. We're going to be utilizing Ergo NFTs and other Ergo tech in Palmyra. In fact, Ergo NFTs are going to be the backbone of Palmyra. But yeah, we're also utilizing Cardano for such things as traceability. We're also going to be utilizing technologies like Rosenbridge to move assets between the two chains. And really, you know, I think that we should really kind of think about it as a family, and that's how we think about it. You know, I come from both ecosystems. Obviously, I started in the Cardano ecosystem and continued in the Ergo ecosystem for a year and a half now. And, you know, both ecosystems have a lot to offer. And many of the people in the space are in both ecosystems. So I really think that what we should be doing, and pretty much all the projects in our ecosystems, we should be kind of looking at both and seeing what are the most optimal things and tool sets that we can utilize to build our projects. Because in the end, you know, it's all about delivering a robust, powerful solution that is the culmination of all of this, you know, thinking you do in your head when you create this, right? It's almost like a painting. You know, if you're if any of you guys ever dabbled in art or know about art, it's a lot of the process in painting is being able to transfer what's in your mind onto the canvas, and really to be able to do it in such a way that, you know, it's what you're imagining. Because a lot of times, you know, people are going to be hindered by their ability to do so. They might not have the art skills and whatnot. You know, they might not have the training, so they have to train more on how to draw, how to create, and things like that. But it's really all about being able to see. You know, you have this great idea, you have this great vision, and then you transfer it, and then you see it, and sometimes you look at it and you say, you know, that's not really what I was thinking about. Or you look at it and you say, you know what, that is what I was thinking about, but now that I look at it, it's actually not very good. And then sometimes you look at it and you put it on the canvas, or you put it on, you know, you put it on slides, you know, you put it on in PowerPoint, you put it on paper, and you see, or you build it, you know, like we did with the Palmyra UX and UI with the help of Nicholas. And you see this and you say, oh my God, this is it. That's it. You know, this is what I saw. And in fact, it's even better than what I imagined it to be. And then even beyond that, it starts growing, you know. And that's what utilizing the tools in our ecosystems is all about. It's not about who's going to win the battle of, you know, there could be only one blockchain, but it's about who... how you can utilize both the ecosystems in the ways that the vision in your head, when put on the canvas, is above and beyond what you've imagined. And you've done it with these tools from Ergo, from Cardano, that are at your disposal.
I love the answer, Dan. Oh, we got a speaker up here. Foy Nicolum, how you doing?
Hey, I'm good. Thanks. How are you guys?
Doing really good.
Good to hear you again.
Nice to see you again as well. So, I have a question if it's not too early to ask one.
Never is.
Go ahead.
Awesome. So you mentioned that it's going to be very important to kind of like, you know, leverage NFT technology on Ergo. And I wanted to ask you if there is anything particular about, you know, Ergo NFTs that make it easier for Palmyra to achieve its objectives. And also, how does the lack of a policy ID affect all of that, basically? Because obviously you said it's an Ergo-centric project, but, you know, we will also be including Cardano in all of this. But obviously Cardano uses NFTs that's got that have a policy ID, so I'm not sure if the lack of it would, you know, how that would affect your objectives.
Yeah, so I mean, the lack of policy idea, I mean, it will be solved by modules that we're going to create for Cardano, for Palmyra, and also it's not necessarily that NFTs themselves will have to be moved from Cardano to Ergo, or from Ergo to Cardano. I'm sorry. So, I mean, there's a lot of different solutions, and it's very specific to what we're doing. In fact, I would like to keep as much as possible on the Ergo blockchain without really having to move it. So whether it's some sort of a vending machine that we set up, or it's a custom implementation or module for Rosen. There's several different ways of basically building what we need using Ergo NFTs and still utilizing Cardano. Now, why Ergo NFTs? Well, I mean, aside from Ergonomes being on Ergo, and as just like this thing that you just want to be, you know, next to. It's like standing next to a giant. It's just like with everything with Ergo, it's just so easy to use and it is so powerful, yet it is just there. It's very cost efficient, first of all. Ergo NFTs are like a penny to mint or something like that. I don't even know, you know, with the current price, it's something really negligible. It's still a native asset, so you can do all the cool stuff that you can do with it with the UTXO accounting model. It is versatile, so that you can add various different functionality to it, store different types of information on it. So basically, make it a utility NFT. It's very usable to be a utility NFT, it's all these things in combination that really make Ergo NFTs just really our go-to NFT technology for Palmyra.
That's amazing to hear, and also it's an honor to be called a giant by someone who's like 12 feet tall, so thanks about it as well.
I don't know, exaggerate. You know, I'm only like 10 feet tall. Okay.
10, 12. Close enough. I was about to say, I think you guys should definitely start writing Twitter threads and Medium articles about all of this, because I don't think most people know that. Like, it's amazing to hear that. And I also had another question, but I just forgot, so I might jump in again and ask it later on. But thanks for answering my questions.
Yeah, absolutely, Fo, anytime. And actually, we are going to be doing quite a bit more, writing, quite a lot more communication through Medium. I mean, just the thing right now is that things are going so well at Zengate that me and Sam are like swamped. You know, it's not like we're sitting here and hoping something comes our way and things will get better. I mean, literally, you know, Sam is at our office, and we have a share space that we go that is basically our office in downtown Osaka, and Sam is there till like, you know, like 10, 11 p.m. pretty much almost every night, including Sunday. just working on all these different things that we have to work on, and we still don't have enough time in the day to do things. So once we kick things into gear, we have some really important meetings coming up in Dubai in the next few days. And once things kick into gear a little bit more, we will we'll be able to kind of dedicate more time to really bringing all this content, which we really want to. And with the help of Chef, the community is just really thriving. I mean, it's really amazing. I really love that all of you guys are here, all you guys are following us, all you guys are so involved in what we're doing, because it really means a lot to us. Because you really really, the community is part of this painting that you put on the canvas when you create something like this. And we all know the community is a big, strong, powerful, highly needed aspect of any project in this sort of space. And I mean, I just love our community. I just love you guys that you are so engaged in what we're doing. You are so supportive. You're here. You're asking questions. And yeah, and that really helps us. It empowers us to just keep going and keep building and keep delivering on our promises.
Since we have Fo up here, I think it's a good thing for me to tell everyone. Anybody that has a question, feel free to come up. We opened up our Q&A a little bit earlier, but this is great, actually. Fo, go ahead.
Yes, I just remembered the question I wanted to ask. Palmyra, or Zengate in general, and Nepopals. Is Zengate, will Zengate use Nepopals in any way at all? Is that gonna help reaching out to those communities that are less fortunate? They might not have internet connection as good as other cultures and so on. And yeah, I'm not sure. I'm just blubbering at this point. But
it's a very good question. And yeah, Nipopos really do give you the ability to kind of utilize a less powerful devices for on-chain and chain-related activities. And one thing that we have noticed, and even in developing countries in various levels of development, is that smart device penetration is actually pretty high. It's literally like in the high 80s to early to low 90% smart device penetration, meaning that 90% of all people either have a smart device or have direct access to a smart device that they can use. So Nepopos will definitely be something that we're going to be utilizing, because a lot of the usage that's going to happen on Palmyra will be done in remote areas, in these areas where you have like, say, Sri Lankan farmers, right? You have cinnamon growers, people working in the field. I mean, the person that's picking the tea, might even be utilizing Palmyra to start the traceability process. So, it's definitely something that we're looking into, and we would like to utilize for our user base for Palmyra. It's definitely a technology that's really in sync with what we're doing.
Awesome, love to hear that. That's all for me for now. But yeah, thanks again for answering my questions, guys, and best of luck.
Thanks for.
Feel free to stick around, Fo, in case you have more questions coming up. I would like to touch base a little bit on to the self-sovereign identity. Is this something that Zengate will be bringing? I did get that question on my DMs actually 5 minutes ago.
I can touch on this just quickly before. If Dan wants to say anything afterwards, but When you're building a traceability solution as complex as the ones that we're trying to actually implement, verified credentials become a really important cornerstone of the solution itself. So, you know, if you're a tea factory owner looking to get some inspection services done or audits done, I think it's really important to be able to represent your company firstly, or your factory as a sort of identifiable piece, and then also being able to actually do the same for these other inspection agencies or auditing agencies as well. So like we speak to like the IOG, like Atala team, like quite frequently about this, and that's definitely something that we're looking to onboard. Like and all of this stuff needs to happen in the background without it being super obvious, but yeah, like there will be DIDs, there'll be sort of verified credentials, there'll be a lot of stuff like this happening to actually validate and increase trust assumptions like across the supply chain. So I don't know, Chef, if that answers your question, but the answer is yes. And I think the trick is not so much how you do it. I think people sort of know how to do it, but how do you do it in a way that's like very effortless for the, I guess, the businesses that are like technically like signing these transactions and validating stuff that's on chain?
Thank you, Sam. Thank you. Dan, anything you would like to add?
Yeah, you know, DIDs are very important to what we're doing, and I'll tell you why. You know, sovereign identity and custody are important on many levels. Like, for example, when we tokenize commodities, right, they are essentially, they become an NFT with all this, you know, a utility NFT with all this information attached to it, and NFTs are assets, right? So the ownership of that asset is very important, because that asset now becomes a digitized version of your actual product, of your actual commodity. And so it's got its own inherent value that you want to be in control of. So utilizing digital identities will then give you the ability to really kind of couple this with your identity and use your credentials wallet to store these NFTs and to have custody of the NFTs. And since DIDs are also obviously, you know, for credentials transfer, you can then interact with your credentials within the DID wallet, and you could then attach things like certifications from various different agencies. You can attach things like port authority certifications, all these different things that are now on paper and now are just kind of a pain to really deal with, can be transferred in and out using digital identities. And digital identities can be really utilized on many levels. It can be utilized on the personal level, like say you're just a farmer, a small farmer, and you have you have your own plantation, but you are you're selling to a factory, for example. This happens quite a bit in Sri Lanka, and your digital identity is something that you can utilize to say, for example, instead of having to go through all this paperwork, having to go through all these things that you need to go through in order to sell your stock, to really utilize your digital identity. You're verified that this is your stock when you bring it to the factory. You offload, and then you instantly get an instant settlement for what you just brought. Meaning that you don't have to go through paperwork, you don't have to go through the cashiers. It's yours, right? It's so much faster, it's so much easier, and it's it's immutable. On the next the next level, it's a digital identity that's given to a conglomerate, you know, a factory. So a tea factory can actually have its own digital identity to help it work the national scene, to interact between various different factories, and to say again, the different factories in Sri Lanka get certifications from, say, the tea board. Right. And so to be able to trustlessly prove that the certification exists and it's real without having to send a million pieces of paper through faxes or whatever, to say the auction house, which makes up about 85% of all tea trade in Sri Lanka. So it's a crucial part of the solution, because it is just, there's so much use for it, and it just really kind of clears up so many bottlenecks and can be used on so many different levels. So yeah, it's very powerful in the field that we're working in.
And I just sort of had a and not an idea, but something that we've been talking internally a lot as well is that I sort of forgot to mention is, I think it's not just DIDs alone, but DIDs and digital identities are like part of the solution, but access to finance is a really big topic that we're always sort of reading and sort of learning about in some of these regions. And for those of us that have been fortunate enough to grow up in developed worlds, obviously, like the last 10 years, we've had like ridiculously low interest rates, like really easy to borrow money at relatively affordable rates. But that's not always the case in some of these emerging markets. Like some people, like they're very predatorial sort of credit markets, and some people are paying like percentage points a day, and that sort of compounds like very ridiculously and steeply as well. So these could be like 30% or 50% per annum types of loans. And the great thing about DIDs and also transactions is that you can start to build out this history of transactions, which can be used to inform like a credit model. So I think long-term, there's sort of really interesting opportunities of, I've heard like Charles Hoskinson talk about this before, and not so much in sort of other spaces, but you can really build out a decentralized credit bureau, build out these like decentralized credit scores, and open up the opportunities to for people that currently don't have access into other capital markets. And these capital markets could be anything from tapping into DeFi loans or tapping into traditional finance loans as well, who have much higher sort of requirements when it comes to getting access to money. So I think we can help a lot there. And DIDs and so digital identities is really one of the ways that gets us to that solution.
Thank you, Sam. And Do you wanna give our community a little bit of an update in regards of Project Catalyst proposal that we're working on?
Yeah, well, like Chef and I and some of other team members, we'd actually drafted a few Catalyst proposals off the back of Fund 9. But I think there's some delays right now with Catalyst. So like in terms of what we'd applied for, so there's an Atala challenge, which is really just built around credentials and governance frameworks. It's very much aligned with what we're doing. So we sort of wrote some stuff up there. We also looking to get some funding from a product point of view. So we'll probably build some stuff open source and make it available for I guess Cardano community. And then we'd also been helping the Rosenbridge team write up some Catalyst proposals as well. And I've written up some stuff around there, mainly from the SPO tooling point of view. So it's like a opportunity, I guess, to onboard SPOs as what they call watches, which is that first layer of validators for the bridge itself. So it'd be interesting to actually build out some infrastructure which allows existing SPOs to run off-chain and sort of on-chain infrastructure to provide that security itself. So just utilizing stuff like security that already exists. And then, yeah, so I think there's about three or four proposals that we've actually written up. But to be honest, Chef, like, you're obviously much more involved in knowing what the timelines look like. We're waiting at this point to actually just make some submissions and get some input from the community. But everything's sort of written up and ready to go at this point. So we're just waiting.
Yeah, we still have to wait for a while. There's quite a few things that they're working on, but I am hoping, and this is no date or anything like that, but I'm hoping by March we will have something at least happening. I just saw Nicholas down in the audience, and I wanted to give a big shout out to Nicholas for the amazing UX that Palmyra Comdex has. He's an amazing and very talented person, and we do appreciate his amazing job. With that being said, Dan, I would like to pass the mic to you and ask you. We did get a question in regards to the semi-fungible tokens that you mentioned into the Pedaya Twitter space that we had. Do you want to elaborate a little bit more?
Sure. So again, mind you that this is really early. We're in early stages of designing this, and we're definitely, you know, we're talking to various Ergo teams about building this out. But essentially what this is, I mean, I guess semi-fungible tokens was a bit of a buzz name. So it's better to explain exactly what it means. So basically, I was thinking, okay, if you're not a commodity trader, right, and if you're not, say, an actual commodity creator or a commodity buyer, right, how do you participate in the Palmyra ecosystem? I mean, yeah, of course, we're going to have, you know, a lot of open source development available, and we're going to collaborate with developers and with other teams in the ecosystem. But really, if you're not one of those guys either, but you still want to participate in what we're doing and you're excited about what we're doing, how do you do it? Well, so I started reading about semi-fungible tokens and what these are. If you guys aren't familiar with it, some of you guys who are not familiar with it, is basically a concept on Ethereum that they had as the 1155 standard. And what it is a token minted as a fully fungible token, and it starts its life as a fungible token, but it's got a very strict spending policy. And so the spending policy pretty much only allows it for it to be spent on something that will, like, say, for example, it was used a lot in gaming. Say you use these tokens to spend on an item in a game, and then the actual token becomes the item. So essentially the token then becomes an NFT. And this was originally done to save money on minting costs and gas fees on Ethereum, because we know they're no joke. But really what that kind of made me think about is, okay, and again, in EUTXO, it doesn't happen like it does in Ethereum, right? We'd have to have a vending machine for these tokens, and it just the tech behind it is a little different, but essentially what it is a set of tokens that we're going to be, or that we would offer to the community to purchase or to buy. And these tokens will, the only function that these tokens will basically have would be to then be converted into NFTs that will be utilized on the Palmyra platform by various commodity creators, because we all know they need to create and mint these NFTs. Well, if you are, for example, interested, you think that a specific tea factory in Sri Lanka is a very promising place, you know, for what they're doing, and you want to say invest in the tea industry in Sri Lanka, but just don't know where to start. You pick a factory, you then basically send them these tokens. they can then use these tokens to mint NFTs for nothing, right? So they're not going to pay for any minting costs or any transactional costs. That's going to be absorbed by the price of the original token. But what that will allow for you to do is to share in a profit. There's basically going to be profit sharing and transactional profit sharing of the NFT through its life cycle. So essentially, it gives people the ability to dip their toes in the ecosystem without really, first of all, creating a security, because it can't be, you shouldn't be able to invest in the T factory. You should be able to invest in giving them the capital to create commodities. But if you're actually investing in the commodity itself, then it retains its currency state, I guess I could say. And it allows you to really be able to work within these, to play within these fields without having to know coding or without having to really know commodity trading or, having to buy the actual tea or sell the actual tea. So that's pretty much the concept behind it. And again, it's really early. We're still really thinking a lot around it and how it would work. It's a way to provide the community with a vehicle to be able to kind of play within the ecosystem.
Awesome, Dan. Thank you so much. Thanks for all the great information that both you and Sam has actually provided us so far. I just wanted to make sure that I let everybody know if you have any questions for Sam or Dan, feel free to come up, request to become speakers, or if you don't have access to a phone or anything like that, feel free to write it down on the comment section, and I'll make sure that I will address it over here. Do you have any other questions, anything else that came up to your mind?
Not really, to be honest. I think I just need to maybe read more about Zengate so that I can ask more questions.
Chef, looks like we have a request. Let me just add Pyro.
I actually thought I got ragged for a second there. Thank you so much for actually saying something, Sam, because I had a phone call. Somebody was calling me, and I'm like, oh, my God, I can't listen to anything.
Well, Pyro, go ahead. I know you just asked.
Hey, yeah, no, Chef, you're everywhere, dude.
Pyro.
Hey, buddy.
How you doing? It's been a while. So nice to hear your voice.
Same. So Zengate, is this a, like, what exactly is Zengate, like, market fit? Is this a blockchain solutions company? I'm curious where Zengate fits in the operations of, do you guys have your own solutions that you're selling? And how do, so I'll leave it at that question first.
I probably have a slightly different answer to Dan, which is not a bad thing at all, but it's just, I guess, our backgrounds and where we're coming from. And I'll jump in first. But Zengate's are the holding company, and off the back of that, we're running various projects. Like, currently, we're basically mainly focused on Palmara, which is the commodity trading platform that we've been spending most of today talking about, Pyro. So as for, like, product market fit, like, supply chains and commodity trading has, like, lots of different sort of complexities and aspects around it, all the way from logistics to financing to warehousing, inspections. We're not looking to actually reinvent the wheel in terms of how that stuff works, but there's a huge opportunity to address when it comes to digitization of stuff that's already on paper, and also opening up, like, access to a global marketplace as well. So that's sort of our product fit that we're looking for right now. And there's a little bit of testing to find out this year, but that's, I think that's where we're getting most of the traction. So it's effectively like a software layer that sits and connects the various services in the commodity trading space. So that's what we're doing. As for like the target markets, I think I like touched on that a little bit, but I'll just summarize again for maybe those that are sort of joining the call later. But we're not looking to try take market share from like these large existing commodity markets like oil, gas, other metals like, you know, iron ore, stuff like that. Like they have really robust systems already in place. They have good access to the finance. They have good access to sort of global markets. We're actually like we're addressing the niche sort of target markets that don't have access to any of that. So our software solutions will like allow these different businesses the tools to actually compete globally and get access to those things I just talked about. So that's the software fit point of view and also market fit point of view. Like Pyro, does that answer your question?
Yeah. I'm still trying to figure out. So I know that you guys had like a company that did supply chain for tea. And so is it like the proof of life for the tea going from the the farmer distributor and then back around again or last mile? Is that something that you guys do? Is it just the transparency or I'm just trying to figure it out. Thank you.
Well, I might let Dan answer that bit. But I guess the main point just before I hand over is like supply chain transparency is one aspect of it. It's not the only thing that we're doing. It's a part of an aggregate solution that we talk about sometimes. But I would just think of it as a commodity trading platform, which allows businesses to transact in wholesale volumes and effectively buy commodities that they either couldn't buy before from a certain market. So it's opening up the access for people to buy and sell various commodities. There are different features that are part of the aggregate solution, and like providing provenance might be one of it because we're tracking this stuff from origin. But it's not the point. That's not the main thing we're trying to monetize or commercialize in any way.
Yeah, just to kind of add to what Sam was saying and to what you're asking, Pyro, basically, Zengate is not a blockchain company. It's not a crypto company. It's an infrastructure solutions company. And that's what we build. We build various solutions for infrastructure that where infrastructure is lacking, is outdated, or needs to leapfrog. Palmyra, as Sam explained, is a trading platform. It's a the idea here was, and again, it's another term that Sam has mentioned is aggregate solution. And I mean, the idea for Palmyra originated from this thinking, right? So I've dealt a lot with traceability, you know, working at IOG and just working in the Cardano ecosystem, you know, with Atala and with other products. I dealt with supply chain management. I dealt with digital identities. I dealt with NFTs. I dealt with different types of trading markets, exchanges, things like that. And really, what you find is a lot of these solutions they're very much needed and they're very much effective. But the issue is that it's difficult to monetize on a lot of these things. I mean, to really monetize on them. Most of it is because we're still really early, but also just because, you know, traceability by itself is really, it's just not easy to monetize on because it is a part of a larger solution. And that's where this idea came to me. I said, okay, and this, of course, you know, this was really, really raw, and the team, you know, and Sam and the team really helped really build it to what it is today. But really, the idea was I was thinking, you know what? What if an NFT, instead of trading NFTs and having, like IP attached to them, you know, like say a piece of art or something like that. What if the NFT could represent something physical on the ground, like an actual item, right? You can link it, you can digitize it, okay? And you can then trade it in the way you would trade NFTs or you would trade crypto. Okay, and then what if you would have things like digital identities attached to it? And what if you could have things like traceability attached to it and authentication attached to it? All these different components that by themselves might not be super, I guess, monetizable or profitable. I don't want to keep using monetizable, but I mean really just kind of commercially effective. But together in aggregate, they can bring this really powerful solution that really kind of checks off all the boxes for value add to places that might need to leapfrog or are basically stagnant because of their inability for to catch up with the legacy infrastructure, you know, like the developed nations did. Developing nations didn't have the time, didn't have the money, didn't have the resources to really build out the same infrastructure. And then you basically give them this technology, and then it creates opportunity inclusion for them. It creates the ability for them to really be able to work on that level, on the same level as the developed nations, and to have access to the same markets, to have access to the same opportunities because of this aggregate solution. And so that is what, that's where this idea for Palmyra came from. And Palmyra is only one of several different products in the same family that we're going to be building out. Again, it's just all about infrastructure. It all goes back to creating infrastructure solutions for developing nations that really want to be have the potential to be in the front and really need to be able to leapfrog, and they can leapfrog with these solutions.
Thank you, Dan. I think this answered Pyro's question, because he already went down as a listener. So I'm pretty sure that you definitely covered his question there. I will do like a last call. So anybody that would like to come up and ask any questions, it's a totally free space for everybody. We actually encourage everyone to come up and talk to us, and ask anything that they might have in their mind. We all think that, it's really important to answer every single question. And, this is the first, of the many spaces that we'll be doing, throughout 2023. We want to make sure that we'll keep in touch with our community, and, we can address, all the questions that you might have. With that being said, I would definitely invite all of you to join our Discord. If you just go on Zengate's Twitter profile, you'll find the link there. And that way, any questions or anything that you would like to talk about, we're going to be available over there on a daily basis. I'm not sure, Sam, is there anything else that you would like to add? Any last thoughts? Maybe tell us a little bit about what we're going to be working on in the next coming months.
Yeah, I think when we're on the ground, there's going to be a lot of interesting content coming through. So we will make an effort to try get that out in different forms, whether that's blog, video, AMAs as well. And I think Fo mentioned that at the start of the call. So we'll be spending a lot more time doing that.
Thank you so much, Sam. Dan, any final thoughts from you?
Yeah, I wish Twitter would stop rugging me. It almost made me have to ask to enter my own space because it decided to switch accounts on me.
I mean, look, there's just so much planned for 2023 that I mean, there's not enough time for me to really go into it. We're definitely excited about all the things that are happening with Palmyra. We have a very robust roadmap for Palmyra. We're actually going to be making it available pretty soon on the website, on zengate.global. We have workshops. We're going to start the build. We're going to actually be present in various different places for conventions for promoting Palmyra. Hopefully at some point this year, we're going to start working on expanding the ecosystem into other product lines that they're going to be building up. So, I mean, just really a lot of exciting stuff on the horizon. I really hope that all you guys, keep following what we're doing and giving your input, and just really, and like I said, your help as a community and your interest and your support, it means a huge deal to us. I just like to thank everybody for what you've contributed to the project.
And if I may add, your feedback is also really important for us. So this is why we want to make sure that we let everybody know that our DMs, our doors, Discord, feel free to join, and feel free to start any conversation with us. We do believe that it's really important for us to have an open communication with all of you. And this is the only way for us to actually, get better and keep moving forward. Once again, I want to thank everybody that joined our space. It is recorded, so you will be able to catch up with it later on. And we'll see you pretty soon. Take care, guys. Thanks for joining again.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.